Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
1 Corinthians. We were studying, we were looking at the food sacrificed to idols, the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. In verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. And I want you to think about areas of your life. I'm doing a Watchman broadcast, recorded part one the other day. And I'll record part two this week. I'm looking forward to it. I like looking in the Bible to see the spiritual world around us. God drew a picture of it. It's all in there. And devils have, and I've been preaching on this too, and I've taught this several times. Devils, God created them with a beast nature, just like wild animals. And they all have areas that they like to dwell in. Jesus said, foxes have holes. And birds have nests. And if you can destroy the nest of birds, they won't hang around there anymore. They'll move away. And so that's just something to ponder. But he tells us here that you should not have fellowship with devils. And not having fellowship with devils is relatively simple, as long as you understand that you know where those devils are going to be. For instance, what we try to do here in this church is provide an atmosphere whereby the Holy Ghost will attend to us and deal with us and help us. And it's not done through our actions. It's not done through our loud music. It's not done through anything like that. It is done through opening and believing the Word of God. See how simple that is? You just open up the Bible and read it and believe it, and that's where the Holy Ghost is going to be. This Bible still is the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And so that's the atmosphere that God will dwell in. That's where He will be. And stop and think about where devils like to live. Okay? Speak of the devil. No, just kidding. Yeah. Stop and think where devils like to live. Okay? Let's talk about the church for a minute. If we created an atmosphere here in this church whereby we removed the Word of God from our preaching, from our teaching, from the worship service, if we created a very sensual, very fleshly worship service, the Holy Ghost will withdraw. And when there is the absence of the Holy Ghost, what happens? Devils move in. It's just like that old house that when nobody's living there, what is going to happen in that old house? You're going to find every critter in the world housed up in that house. That's because the presence of the man has been removed. And so now they feel comfortable in living there. They're not worried about it. And so you stop and think about areas of life where you know devils love to inhabit. Areas of life where devils love to be part of what's going on and where they have a presence. And if you have a situation like that, remove yourself or remove the situation and they will flee from you. It's that simple. It is that simple. Now, I am not one of these that believes that if you just speak a few magic words and do this, that the devil will leave you alone for the rest of your life. It won't happen. It won't happen. As long as you live here, you're going to have to do battle. How many of y'all know that? There are people, there are prosperity preacher guys and things like that, that would have you believe that all you have to do is get anointed or get this or get that and send them money and do all kinds of stuff, and then you're going to have complete victory over everything, and you'll never have another problem in your life. That's not true. and they're setting you up. And they're setting you up because they want your money. They've convinced people that money equals God's power. And we read in the book of Acts where you cannot buy God's power with money. Cannot buy the Holy Spirit and the gift of this. It's a gift. Cannot buy a gift with money. But these people have people convinced that you can. So anyway, we ought to not have that. We should not have fellowship with devils. Think of some people that you might know that you would characterize as devils. Okay, I'm sure you've got a list already. All right, you're not to have fellowship with them. You can be nice to them, pray for them, witness to them, whatever. Okay. But you're not to be in fellowship with them. If they're going to have a party at their house, and you know they're going to be slinging booze everywhere and playing music and all this stuff, just say, no, I can't go. I can't go over there. Okay, that's just not really for me. And don't have fellowship with them. So he says in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible gives us wisdom on this. If you have never, ever done a study, and when I say study, I mean read it and read it and read it and read it. That's what I mean by study. Read the Bible. Read the Bible again. Read the Bible again. Read the Bible again. And when you do that, God will start giving you light. He will start giving you understanding. He'll start using the words to speak to your heart and to minister to your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And think about this. I was listening to Brother Lonnie Burks the other day. There was a sermon playing on Bible Truth Radio, and I was tending to it, and I was listening to it. He was talking about back in the old days. He said we had a path to the barn. We had a path to the smokehouse. We had a path to the outhouse. We had a path to the woodpile, you know. And we had a path out to everything. And he said, even when it was dark, he said, and I believe this out of Lonnie, okay. He said, I grew up without shoes. He said, I wore a pair of shoes. I kept my shoes good for Sunday going to meeting shoes. He said, but just walking around outside, we didn't walk around in shoes. And he said, at night, you didn't have a light, but you had a path. And he said, I had my shoes off and I just was feeling. You can tell the difference in the night with your shoes off between whether you're on the path or not. Amen. You can always tell the difference. It's a well-worn path. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And I'll tell you something, even in total ignorance, a lot of times we'll be able to tell whether or not we're in the path of the wicked or not. It just won't. If you're saved, if you have the light of the gospel shining in your heart, you'll be in a situation in life and it just will not feel right to you. You'll just be going, boy, this ain't right. There's something not right here. And what that is, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, dealing with your soul, and there's just a quivering there. There's an uneasiness about being where you are. And you don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. You don't have to have these things. The Holy Ghost will give light into your heart and let you know. But God's warning is sincere. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and it will be a well-worn path, because most wicked people go the same ways all the time. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Think about that. Let's think about, I like to pick on Roy, because Roy's pretty honest about himself. And when Roy decided to quit drinking, he knew that there was beer joints and saloons and places like that. He's probably going to have to change how he rode home. Okay? Because when you go down one street, when you're used to going home a certain way and you're used to stopping off at these places on the way home, what that means is if you're honest and you're sincere about wanting to quit drinking, you find you a different way home. You don't go by the, he said, go not by it. Pass not by it. Don't get anywhere near. This is where the Bible talks about the appearance of evil. Avoid all appearance of evil. And if you know that it's a weakness of yours for you to drive by the same liquor joints you used to go into all the time and quit in the same beer halls and everything else, then you go a different way home. You don't pass by those places ever again, because one of these days things are not going to be right and you're going to be very weak and you're just looking for a reason. And you just dive in there. Okay? Same way with everything else in life. Whether if your deal's not drinking and it's something else, pass not by it. Don't even get around that stuff. Just get far, far away from the evil presences that are in our lives and surround us. The farther you are away from things, the better off you are. Amen? There was a story. You remember Tammy Wynette? Remember Tammy Wynette? She married George Jones for a while. They used to sing together. And George had a liquor problem. Bad liquor problem. And Tammy was trying to get him off the liquor. She thought she was going to rehab this old guy. She tried to get him off of it. And she said, "You're going to stay away from them places. You're not going to get any. I ain't going to have no liquor in my house." And boy, she put her foot down. And it got to where she had to take all the keys to every vehicle that they had where they lived and keep them so he couldn't get in his car and drive off. And there is a true story. True story. She didn't get the keys to the tractor. And he's riding down the road on this tractor headed to the beer joint so he could get him a drink. Okay? Make it as hard as possible to go in these paths. Make it as hard as possible for yourself. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Verse 17. Notice what they do. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now that's the cup of devils and the table of devils right there. You're looking at it right there. It is the cup of violence, the wine of violence, and it's the table, the bread of wickedness. This is what people consume. This is what feeds their soul. This is what feeds their life. I'm just marveled. I was not raised this way, and I don't think this way, and I don't live this way, and I don't act this way. I can have a family get together, or I can have, let's say, somebody come to our house, or we can go out and have a good time with some people, and never one time think that I need to order scotch and vodka. That doesn't cross my mind. Okay? But I know a lot of people who, if two people get together, they's going to be drunk before the night was over with. They're going to be smashed, flattened out, hitting one another, laying in bed with somebody they don't know by the time the night's over with. We do, and in America, we've gotten so bad, we've gotten so unreligious, we use the religious holidays as another reason to get smashed. Thanksgiving, they're going to get drunk on Thanksgiving. Boy, you can tell we got a little bit of warm weather. Here come the wasps. Okay? When they have Thanksgiving, when you're supposed to bow your head and tell God thank you for all that you have, they're going to get drunk. They're going to have wine and liquor and beer and everything else. Christmas time, when you're supposed to celebrate the joy of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior, to die for the sins of mankind, let's get drunk. And we're going to do it again next week for New Year's Eve. Let's get good and drunk. And every occasion that people use to get together is an occasion to drink and to get drunk. This is how these people feed themselves. By the way, you feed your iniquity with the bread of wickedness. You are feeding your own sinfulness. Had a preacher one time talk about the raven and the dove. We've got a dual nature in us, and Paul speaks of it in Romans chapter 7. And the story is the raven and the dove. You see those in the book of Genesis, and Noah released them out of the ark. The dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It loves to feed on the seed of the Word of God. And then we've got a raven that loves meat, loves carnal things. It loves flesh is what it does. And one of them is going to rule over you. It depends on which one you feed the most. Amen? When you feed your mind of wicked things, you will do wicked things. You are empowering the wickedness that is in you. Best thing you can do is starve it to death where it has no power. I believe this is all biblical. The Bible's telling us they eat the bread of wickedness. That means they have fed themselves on wicked things. Whether it's the associations that they have, whether it's the... Let me just say something like this, okay? Right up here, up at the top of the hill up here, this is the reason why this street is called American Legion Drive. It's because up at the top of the hill here, there's an American Legion Hall. Now, I like old soldiers. And that's what the veteran of foreign, the VFW and American Legion, that's what they represent, old soldiers. It's a meeting place of old soldiers, and they get together for Memorial Day and Veterans Day and things like that, and Flag Day, and I'm in favor of all that stuff. But if I was an old soldier, knowing what I know about the Bible, I probably could not go up to that place. Do you know why? It's a bar. It's a meeting place, and they get in there and drink, and they get in there and do this stuff. I could not be a part of that. I would be feeding wickedness inside of my soul. That's what I would be doing. Okay? Let's say the guy's... Some guy's having problems with his wife at home. Well, the best thing you can do at the end of the day is go home and try to fix your problems. Okay? But instead, the guy's going off, stopping off at the tavern every night. Guess who the devil's going to bring over there? You remember Woody? This old guy we used to work with? He got into a deal. He lived way down in Farmington. And we was working all around northern Jefferson County, Jared. And he'd work in those houses all day long. And him and the guy that he was riding with, they'd stop at the store and get him beer and then drink that on the way down to Farmington. When they got to Farmington, he would get out of his truck and get into his own truck and go to the pool hall. And he stayed at the pool hall till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting drunk and playing pool. Then he'd come crawling home, have to get up 4 o'clock the next morning and go to work. And I'd see him there. He was a taper, drywall taper, and he stood on stilts all the time. And I'm going, I don't see how you do that. Hung over, walking around on stilts all day long, taping drywall. And we just look at him. He just looked terrible. And he had a wife and kids at home that was waiting on daddy to come home after work. And they knew for a fact that he wasn't coming home. And finally, he come into work one day all sobbing and crying and everything like that. Woody, what's the matter? My wife kicked me out of the house. I said, how come? And he told me what he had been doing. He was honest about it. And he said, I want her back. And I looked at him and I said, Woody, I said, I'll be honest with you. Unless God does a miracle in your life, if I were her, I wouldn't take you back. How many times have you promised her that you were going to quit? A lot. How many times did it work? None. And I said, she's getting tired of you is what it is. She's getting sick and tired of you. And I said, what I would do is I would get my life straightened out with the Lord. I'd get in church somewhere and start and realize what's important to you. And I just let him have it there for a while. And about a week later, he come in. And I said, Woody, how's it going? He said, well, things are a lot better now. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I decided rather than go home to my wife and kids, he said, I happened to found a really nice lady at the pool hall. Well, at least they was going to be together every night. Amen. But he kept eating the bread of wickedness and drinking the wine of violence. Are you getting all this? Are you understanding this? His problem was not that his wife needed to come around to his way of thinking. His problem was he was feeding the wickedness and the violence in his life. He was feeding it every day. And it finally took its toll on his life. I don't know how he is. I haven't seen him in probably 15 years. But that's how he lived his life. And this is why the Bible's telling us you cannot drink the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. You cannot eat from the table of devils and then eat from the table of the Lord. You can't do it. One of them is going to win out. You cannot serve two masters. Amen? You can't do that. You have to decide. That you're gonna, with God's help, you're gonna live for God, or you're just gonna continue on and live for the world, live for the devil. You've got to decide one way or the other how it's gonna be. And so in verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Isn't that a beautiful statement? How many of you know just a little bit more about the Bible every time you read it? You know what that means? The light shining a little bit more and more every day. Just think about, you know, we sit out on a deer stand, okay? And we get out there before daylight. You don't get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and eat breakfast and go deer hunting at 9. No. You got to get up early and get out there to your stand and get in there and get settled and get about 30 minutes before daylight is what my dad always taught me. Get in your stand and get settled and get quiet. That way when that sun comes up, and then, boy, we're sitting there freezing to death. Can't wait for that sun to hit us, to kind of warm us up a little bit. And all of a sudden, you can't see the sun yet, but you start seeing daylight. And then it gets a little bit brighter and gets a little bit brighter. And sometimes for me, it starts out dark, sitting on the stand, and when I wake up, the sun's already up. Amen. Huh? Yeah, the next day. Turn to Proverbs 9. I've got a story about that. Turn to Proverbs 9, I'll tell you that story. I used to know an old guy that he worked a night shift at a chemical factory around here. And when he would get done with work, he'd drive right out to his deer stand, and he had to sit up a tree, and he'd sit up in that tree and deer hunt. And one morning he got out there and he worked all night and he's tired, and he got up in that tree stand and sitting on a big old limb, you know, got nice and comfortable sitting up there, and that sun come up and warmed him up and he went to sleep. He said when he woke back up, it was dark. He slept in that tree all day long. He said it scared him because he didn't know, you know, you wake up and it's dark and you don't know what happened, you know. And there's probably deer feeding underneath his tree, you know, looking up, laughing at him and everything. Proverbs chapter 9. I encourage you to read Proverbs. Just go read it about a dozen and a half times. Amen. It's good. It's good, good lessons in here. You'll learn about life. Proverbs chapter 9. Let me get there. Here we go. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out 7 pillars. Think of those 7 pillars as the spirits of God, the 7 spirits of God. Think of the Bible purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So wisdom will tell you that your house should be built with the foundation and the pillars of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. And then verse 2, she hath killed her beast. Think about that. Biblical wisdom will kill off the devils in your life. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished the table. So here we have the table and the wine again. Verse 3, she hath sent forth her maiden, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. This is wisdom. Now, anytime I see a woman in the Bible, or a female, or her, we're dealing with the church. We're dealing with what the church is supposed to be. The church is always always typified in the Bible as a woman. And in the book of Proverbs, you will see 2 women in the book of Proverbs. You'll see wisdom. You'll see a virtuous church. You'll see who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. Or you will see the strange woman who stands out on the street corner and bids these young men with pockets full of money into her house so she can ruin their soul and take their money. That's the strange woman. And you study Proverbs, you'll get that. God had me read Proverbs. I read it one time and I said, okay, God, what? He said, read it again. I read it again. I said, okay, God, I don't get it. And about the 4th time through, I'm picking up on this stuff because it's being refreshed in my mind, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with me about these issues and about the 2 women in the book of Proverbs. You study this out, you'll find it to be true. But in this case here, this is the typified as the church. And I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about the Holy Roman Catholic Church. I'm talking about God's true church. Those people all over the world who are born again, who are saved, who are washed in the blood of Jesus, and they believe God's word. And I want you to think of this now. Our church should be built with 7 pillars. It should be the house and the habitation of the Holy Ghost, number 1. And number 2, it should be built upon the words of God, our pure words. As silver trying to the furnace of earth purified 7 times. That's what this church should be standing on. If we stand on anything else, this house will fall down. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? This house should be a beast-killing house. Amen. We should be a sin-killing, beast-killing house. The wine and the table. That means that we have to offer people a refreshment for their soul when they come in from a long week or whatever journey of life they're on. When they come in the first day of the week into this place, we should be a refreshment for people's hungry and thirsty souls when they come in here. Somebody say amen. She sent forth her maidens. Look at that. You know what that is? That is the gospel going out of a church. She sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Do you know why? Because we and what we do here and what we believe here, we don't think we have to hide it from men. It's not some big secret that we can't tell everybody. So we send out videos here at this church. This is what we do. We send out those little maidens out there on that table out there, the DVDs and the tracks and everything like that that we produce here. It's the sermons that we have on our radio station, that we have on sermon audio. And those of you who, these people come in from Kansas, I heard Kay saying, do you want some videos? Did you get some? Uh-oh. Oh, no. Now we got to order some more now. Okay. You know what those are? Those are the little maidens we're sending out of this church. And they're crying from the highest places. Hey, you need to come to the gospel. Somebody say amen. And so listen, whoso is simple. We're not going after complicated people. We're not going after the smart people and the rich people and the wealthy people and the high-minded people. We're going after simple people. Because we wear bib overalls to funerals at this church. Amen. Boy, you should have seen it Friday. I took a little video clip of they put Keith on a horse and wagon and rode that into the graveside. It's the neatest thing I ever saw in my life. And all the pallbearers had on bib overalls. And Keith was buried in bib overalls. Okay. Listen, I love it. Simple. Simple people. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. You know what I think about when I think of the mingled wine? Here a little and there a little. You ever mixed anything up? You know, making chili? How do you make chili, Jared?
A little bit of everything.
Here a little, there a little. Take some of this and put some of that in there. Sometimes it works and sometimes you get last place at the cook-off. Okay? Amen. Okay? But that's what that is. Come drink. And so we're not going to just give you one thing here at this church. We're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to teach you about grace. We're going to teach you about law. We're going to teach you about prophecy. We're going to teach you about family life. We're going to teach you about politics. We're going to teach you about everything that we can think of under the sun. Because it is our responsibility, my responsibility as a pastor, to give you the whole counsel of God. And not just that one thing, okay? And so anyway, verse 6, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth, this is what our ministry is here. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth, am I reading that right? Yeah. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and yet he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And you can just study this out, and you can see this is what our church should be patterned after. Because it says it's her. Now, some people want to look at that and say that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a gal. It's not a woman. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible refers to it as he. He. The Spirit, he. Christ was a male. God was a male. God was not a male, female. Amen. If you believe that, then you believe false doctrine. And I can prove it, too. All right. Take your Bible. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, you're understanding what this cup of devil is and the cup of and the bread of devils. Proverbs 23, verse 6, the Bible says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Look on the back of your $1 bill. Okay? I used to do this when I'd go do conferences. I'd start talking about the $1 bill, and I'd say, if somebody hand me a $1 bill and somebody would hand it to me, I'd stick it in my pocket and keep teaching. Okay. I didn't say I had anything to say about it. Just wanted one. Amen. No, on the back of the $1 bill, there's an occult sentence. In fact, there's several of them, and I've got notes on a video I'm going to make about all that. And but there's occult symbols on the back of it. Did you know that what they wanted to make the seal of America, the seal of America, it was introduced this way, and it got voted down. They had a picture of Moses in front of the Red Sea with it being departed and the glory cloud over it. That was the what I think it was Franklin that came up with that idea for the Great Seal. And you know what that was? It was God's people leaving the land of bondage and coming to a land where they could worship God. You think about that. That was what they started out being, the Great Seal of the United States of America. Well, what a testimony that would have been. Okay? But instead, they put this unfinished pyramid on there, which means a work that is not done. Think of the Tower of Babel. It is a work not done. Think of the cross. It is a work that is done. You see the difference now? The cross says that the work is finished. God has performed it, and God has done it, and it's over. Jesus said it is finished. The Tower of Babel, or the unfinished pyramid, says we must keep doing. We must keep performing. We are going to bring ourselves into this. And then you have an all-seeing eye capstone. Everybody says, well, that's the eye of providence, or that's the eye of God. It's not. God's got two of them. You know that? Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord. See, it doesn't sound right, does it? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This God with one eye, I think it's in the book of Zechariah. God said he would take the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L, the idol shepherd, and put out his right eye. Okay? So he's a one-eyed God. That goes all the way back to the days of Egypt. And you had a magic symbol called the Eye of Ra. Okay? It was the eye of the sun god is what it was. Okay? So think about that. Think about verse 6. Now, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Don't eat that bread. You know what that's telling you? Number one, don't read a bunch of books that are not founded and based upon the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Don't read false Bible translations. Don't eat the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Let me just kind of tell you this part of it. Okay? Here we have Rupert Murdoch, who owns, through his subsidiaries, he owns Zondervan Publishing. Zondervan prints the NIV Bible. They own the exclusive rights and they print the NIV Bible. Okay? Rupert Murdoch owns another company that publishes the Book of Satan, the Bible of Satan. Same guy printing both books. I'm not feeding off either one of them. Not going to have anything to do with it. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. In other words, listen to this now, think about this. Think about the pleasures of sin for a season. Every sin that we have pleasured ourselves in, at some point we get to our lives and it's just like vomiting it back up. It has become, you think about this. I love banana cream pie or coconut cream pie. Okay? I didn't get my piece Friday. I know. I had to scrape out of the bottom of the pie pan what was left. Okay? But let's say we eat, a really, really good piece of coconut cream pie. Boy, it's so good going in there. And then we get sick. And that comes back up. Our body has corrupted that. And it's introduced all those biles and things like that in our stomach. And that's what we're tasting on the way out. And sin is that way, people. And you listen to me. Sin is that way. You take it in and think it's the greatest thing in the world. And at some point, your body just can't hold up to that. And you start rejecting that stuff. And all of a sudden, that which you found to be pleasurable is just disgusting you anymore. I mean, when you were young, you'd take in smoking cigarettes and blow smoke rings and everything like that. And then you get to be Keith's age, okay? And you're just sucking them just because you have to now, and you can't get off of them.
I wish I'd quit these.
Okay? And praise God, when Keith got in the hospital, found out he had cancer, and God saved him, it's gone just like that. Okay? That's what it'll take sometimes. You just pray about that, all right? But anyway, that's just kind of a rundown. Jeremiah 51, verse 7, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hands. Let me tell you what that means very quickly, and then we'll be dismissed for Sunday school and get ready to go to church. Babylon has been a cup in the, a golden cup in the Lord's hands. First time I read that, Jim, I did not understand that. I know Babylon is that spirit that brings sin into the world and causes everybody to be drunk and all this stuff. And I'm going, Babylon is a cup in the Lord's hand. Well, you stop and think about this. God has a way of judging people. God has a way of judging people. When God turns his back on, let's say, a man, or God turns his back on a society, he will then send Babylon in to stir up chaos and confusion and disorder, and then spiritual and even physical drunkenness to that person. God, it's like God will turn them over to this particular spirit. Babylon is a cup. It's a tool that God uses to pour out his judgment upon people who don't want to know what this book says and don't care about it. They just, what they want is a gospel that lets them sin unprohibited and then says you can still go to heaven because God says it's okay. That's what they want. And anybody who believes that, they have already been judged by God because he's poured out a spirit of drunkenness in their midst. That's what that is. That's what that represents. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, God, Lord, for meeting with us today. I thank you for the Bible, Lord, that opens up to our eyes and our hearts, God, what it is that we need to know. Lord, Father, help us. God, there may be somebody here, maybe sitting here, maybe watching this morning. Lord, this, you know, God, the week that they're going to have. It's going to be rough, and they're going to be weak, and they don't know that they can fight things off, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would be strong on their behalf for them. Lord, Father, would you help this morning? And thank you, dear God, for your word and for teaching us what you have. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life, and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.